Welcome to That's History, our regular segment where we look at current events and find echoes, parallels, and lessons from the past. I'm Chris Cetullo, joined as always by Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good to be here as always.
So we're today talking about ISIS or ISIL, depending on what you want to call it, the terrorist organization that's made life miserable for many in Syria and Iraq and in the Middle East, and specifically about the phenomenon of American citizens going overseas and also other nationals going overseas to fight for and with ISIS. And it's put you in mind of For Whom the Bell Tolls and Ernest Hemingway.
Indeed. This isn't the first time that Americans have gone overseas to fight on behalf of others, other armies and other states. They've been doing it for a long time. And I think the most interesting analogy comes from the late 1930s and the so-called Abraham Lincoln Brigade, which was about 3,000 Americans who volunteered to go and fight in Spain on behalf of the Republicans who were facing the fascists during a civil war there. And the people going over there included not just Ernest Hemingway, who wrote For Whom the Bell Tolls, but Eric Blair, better known as George Orwell, who wrote a book about the experience called Homage to Catalonia, which sold exactly 50 copies at the time, but is now regarded as somewhat of a classic.
Something less than hotcakes.
Exactly.
So what was the motivation for the Americans who went over to join the Abraham Lincoln Brigade?
Well, between half and two-thirds of them were so-called card-carrying communists. The rest of them were somewhere on the left. And their motivations were promoting freedom and justice. That's why they chose to name themselves after Abraham Lincoln. And incidentally, when they got there, they formed brigades, which were all elected, kind of mini brigades, that they named after figures like George Washington and Eugene Debs. Debs, of course, being the socialist leader here. So very idealistic, Hemingway thought somewhat naive, young men, under or unemployed. Let's remember that this was the 1930s, and that's important too. Students, teachers, civil servants, not well-to-do, often out of work or barely in work, volunteering because they wanted to fight fascism. Let's remember that the American Communist Party organized the defense of the Scottsboro Boys, who were the nine black boys accused falsely and convicted wrongly of raping two white women in Alabama. And they also demonstrated outside of German consulates and embassies during the 1930s to protest fascism. And in their minds, going to Spain was the next step in the anti-fascist struggle.
Yeah, it could hardly be said that they were immune from criticism back home or wildly applauded for doing what they were doing.
Certainly not. And as might be expected, after the Second World War, when we switched from one totalitarian enemy, that would be Nazi Germany, to another, the Soviet Union, a lot of them were accused of being spies or dupes for the Soviet Union. They were drummed out of their civil service jobs and teaching jobs and other things. It's true that actually at least one of them was a spy for the Soviet Union and boasted, probably erroneously, that he had transferred vital security information to them. But look, you know, in the 1930s, a lot of American communists did have a naivete and a romance about the Soviet Union. Most of them were not spies for the Soviet Union, but they did have to pay for that affiliation later.
So we have some parallels. Most of the volunteers are young. Many of them are unemployed or sort of at loose ends back home. Some of them are idealistic. Some of them are just looking for adventure. But you see some real sharp distinctions between the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and the people going to join ISIS.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, we can emphasize we don't know how many Americans have joined ISIS. The general number you read is about 100. But there are people from all over the world there. The question is why? And I would say the answer is not to promote freedom and equality. They believe that by going there, they can help create a kind of caliphate in the Middle East, which is an utterly vain and nihilistic idea, and that they can do this by slaughtering innocent people. And so if you look at the tweets and the other social media expressions of the Americans who have been killed there, you'll see things like, hey, come over to the Middle East. It's like Disneyland here.
Disneyland.
Yes, yes. That was one of my favorites, or not so favorite, of one of the deceased. But, you know, it's a place where you can go and essentially act on your violent fantasies by murdering innocents and persuading yourself that you're doing so in the name of some sort of again, imaginary kingdom, which doesn't exist and won't exist.
We're talking with Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University, about the phenomenon of American nationals joining ISIS and other terrorist organizations and looking at parallels in history, and prominent among them, the Spanish Civil War and the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. Now, there are some other examples. There were Americans who went to enlist or to fly with the British Air Force during the Battle of Britain ahead of us joining the war.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one thing Americans often forget is that the two great conflicts of the 20th century, World War I and II, we came in late. So World War I begins in 1914. We're not in until 1917. World War II begins in September of 1939. We're not in until December 1941. But that's officially as a state, as a government. Before December 1941, there were Americans signing up to fight in the war. And indeed, we think 15,000 of them joined the Canadian Army because it was the closest. And the Canadians, as part of the British Empire, were, again, in from the get-go. Into the present, there are Americans serving in other armed forces. So we think about 1,000 Americans serve in the Israeli Defense Force. And there are also Americans who serve in the Australian and the New Zealand militaries. Contrary to what a lot of people believe, it is not illegal. It is not against national and international law for Americans to serve in other national armies. It is only illegal for them to turn their guns against the United States.
Right. So in a situation like the Spanish Civil War, we essentially didn't have a dog in that hunt, didn't have an official position. In World War II, it was pretty clear that if we entered, we'd enter on the side of Great Britain and the European allies. So there is a distinction with the situation with ISIS.
Absolutely. I mean, Israel is obviously an ally. Australia and New Zealand are very strong allies. And ISIS, to put it mildly, is not. I mean, ISIS exists in order to not just challenge American interests, but obviously to kill and kidnap Americans.
While not underestimating how much the romance or the adventure or just the adrenalized thrill of war might appeal to young men, you also see a bit of a difference in the sort of grasp of reasons between the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. Many of the people went over there were very conscious what they were doing. In the writings of some of the Americans who have joined ISIS, you see a certain confusion about Islam.
Just appalling ignorance. Again, I think the comparison is very apt. In the case of the Lincoln Brigades, I mean, you had a highly educated population that had, through self-study, educated themselves about international conflict. In the case of a lot of these ISIS guys, what you have are people who have received through the internet a completely Balderized and inaccurate view of Islam.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks. It was good to talk.